looking at the gospel, as well as the other readings, especially Ephesians, about God drawing near to us and we draw near to him. And thinking about the gospel of St. Mark, a pivotal lesson for us all down through time and space, as well as the apostles, that having been busy about many things, that is the apostles, as you heard, they had gone off on their very first mission, and they were probably overwhelmed, and according to the Gospel of St. Mark, quite exhausted. They were busy about many things. They had preached. They had taught. They had healed. They, with Christ, had witnessed exorcisms. And so, because the people were always at them, I mean, imagine the hunger of the people, the yearning that they had, that they would follow along the shore. Well, the apostles and Christ was out on the boat, that they even arrived to the other end of the Sea of Galilee waiting for them, hungry, hungry to hear the gospel, to hear what he had to say. Because it was well known by then that Jesus did something that, again, is an example for us, besides come away for a while and rest first before you do anything else. And that is that before Christ did anything, he spent some time quietly going off by himself and spoke to the Father, and he was quiet and he listened. And then when he was done, he did what we should be doing, even though we're challenged again with many things, that after something that they were able to accomplish, whatever it was in the busyness of our lives, then they reflected. They thought about what had just happened. And like Christ, he spoke to the Father with a sense of thanksgiving for what he accomplished to build up the body of Christ, the church, which is another way of saying doing the Father's will. And so the lesson is for us to rest so that we can respond. Because you see, there were a couple of things that were going to happen right after this gospel that Christ needed them to be on the ball. He needed them to be alert and to be aware. And what was going to happen very shortly after this is the apostles were going to witness two marvels among many, but two especially that follow this gospel. Number one, he was going to have the multiplication of the loaves and fish. He needed them to be alert to help him and to take this in, to have it imprinted on them in their awareness so they could go out and preach and teach this fact of this foreshadowing of the gospel. That he is marvelous and wondrous to behold, as the Old Testament would talk about God, especially in the coming of the Messiah, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Secondly, he was going to be walking on water in the midst of a terrible storm. And then he was going to challenge Peter, who began to fail, understandably so. Put yourself in that situation. You began to sink in the midst of this turbulence. And O ye of little faith, where is your faith? And so because he needed them to be alert to his marvels, they needed to rest. They needed to come away a while, even though what he saw in the people of God is they needed him. Again, they were hungry for him. Stop and think, they had waited since the last prophet before John the Baptist over 400 years for a prophetic word. And here was the God-man walking among them doing marvelous deeds. He was able to do that, of course, because he's the God-man. And the apostles were able to do it because of a portion of the Holy Spirit that they were given to do that. But like anything that we do in life, caregiving, it's exhausting. And so come away for a while always reminds me of a particular book among the many that you might use if you were to go away for a while, as difficult as it is, to rest so that you can ponder in preparation for his mighty deeds, his marvels. Years ago, about the time of Dorothy Day, whose cause has been introduced, by the way, for being proclaimed venerable and then beatified, called blessed, and then, please God, someday canonized, simultaneously to Dorothy Day, who had her mission of taking care of the poor and the homeless and the addicted and the disenfranchised street people in Manhattan. There was another woman who had had a very different kind of beginning than Dorothy Day, who came from a lot of poverty and embraced poverty to build up those who were certainly poor in spirit and in attention and in abilities because of whatever had happened to them when they were growing up that had led them to be street people. The woman's name is Catherine Duhok Doherty. Sounds very Irish, of course, maybe even a little bit of Dutch with the Duhok. But her beginning was really as a baroness in Russia. She was born into a lot of wealth and nobility, very, very educated, used to the finer things. And then when she was a teenager, the communist revolution took place and the Bolsheviks were killing off all the nobility, besides the Tsar and the Tsarina. And she saw her own parents murdered in their Dachau in Russia. Of course, put yourself in that situation. It imprinted itself with horror. We might call it delayed stress syndrome today. But she managed, with the help of her servants, to leave Russia, get out of Russia disguised, and she wound up in, of all places, Toronto, Canada. And when she got there, she had to go off by herself and be. Now, not self-isolate, not self-pity, not navel-gazing. She always had a sense, as the Russian people do, but I think, again, it's according to the natural law of Aristotle as well as then Thomas Aquinas, that there's a sense of the divinity that is inside of, a sense of the other, a sense of something more than me and I and us. Our Catholic theologians, as well as in the Old Testament, called it the other, with a capital O, that God is totally other. But he spends himself into the womb of the Blessed Mother and becomes Jesus Christ, still the other with a capital O. But now he's taken on human flesh, and he makes himself available, and he teaches from whence he comes and where, please God, with his help in the Holy Spirit, we are to go, as he teaches about the kingdom of God, to take care of each other. But in order to do that, you've got to come away from a while and you've got to ponder. And so Catherine Duhok Doherty did just that. You know, they say that St. Paul of Tarsus was so traumatized after he had experienced this blindness and Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That some of our, perhaps it's apocryphal, but some of our theologians say that he spent 3 years in a cave, if you will, trying to adjust the paradigm of what he had seen in Christ. Other theologians say it was 7 years because he was so shocked that everything that he had embraced by way of the Torah, and this is the only way in the Talmud of 163 different laws, and by God, those Christians were refuting that or saying they were fulfillment, Christ was, of all of those laws. He was shaken to the core. And he was taught by the early disciples of the apostles. And then he stepped out after all that pondering, filled with this fire of God. And that's a good image for the pun we ponder inside of us. If you've ever read anything about Francisco, who was one of the seers at Fatima, he was asked once, just before he got the flu of the early 1900s, what was his experience like whenever he saw the Blessed Mother? He said, before I would tell you anything about the Blessed Mother, she showed me God. Intrigued, they said, God, you saw God. In the Old Testament, they say, anyone who sees God cannot live. Such glory, such power. What was God like? And Francisco said, God is like a fire that cannot be consumed. In other words, a ferocious fire that is inside of us because of our baptism. Sometimes it flickers, sometimes it flames. But we go in and we ponder that ferocious furnace of God's love for us. Another word for that in the scriptures would be dynamite, meaning power, in all capital letters. And in order to be able to perceive the marvels that are in the world, that we're made in the image and likeness of God, that we're called to cultivate virtue, not vice, that we embrace God's mercy, not fear of his judgment, is an act of love. In order to do that, we've got to go off by ourselves for a little bit and ponder. And so Catherine de Hook Doherty wrote a book called Pustinia. It's considered a Catholic classic. It's a Russian word meaning retreat. And so she had to retreat inside of herself and cultivate a relationship with God, who is in charge of all things. He is all powerful. She certainly had her grief, and she certainly had her distresses and her traumas. But from that, something else was born. You know, it's true, I think, that we develop character by how we suffer in life. You can always tell the difference between a person who has suffered and someone who has not. Not to judge anybody who hasn't suffered in life. It's just that those who have had some kind of suffering have a certain strength of character in them. Without that, I don't think that we stretch our wings. We don't break out of our cocoons. We become self-entitled. We don't have a sense of the other or of the other. That's whenever we navel-gaze and we self-isolate. But whenever we go inside and we ponder, whenever we retreat into ourselves, not again for the sake of licking our wounds or self-aggrandizement, but for the sake of getting in touch with the power that is inside me that propels me outside of myself to do what Catherine de Hook Doherty did, like Dorothy Day. She founded, like Dorothy Day, something called Madonna Houses all throughout, and they're even in the United States, but Canada first. She called them the Blue Doors, dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And anyone who was suffering in any way, rich or poor, addicted, or those who were coming out of prisons, or people who were having tumultuous relationships and suffering, either as one who victimized or was victimized, all were welcome to come away and to be in the presence of a cross that was painted in their room. Nothing else, just a cross and a bed and a basin of water. Just to ponder along with the scriptures, to go inside and to have a pustinia. Ideally, we're supposed to be having pustinias too. I know as a religious, we are required to make an 8-day retreat, just to go off by ourselves and to rest and ponder so that we can go out and share the marvels of Christ that we know in the scriptures, but also how he moves in the human condition around us. That God created us and the world, and like Genesis, he saw that it was good. All throughout the story of Genesis, in both creation stories, he created, fill in the blank, and he saw that it was good. If we don't come away for a while and go inside and have a pustinia, a retreat, we can be subject to the fact that I see things that are the negative instead of the positive. I have to withdraw from the technology and from the stimulation that's constantly going. If I am able, according to my station in life, for young parents and very busy people who have a job or two or all kinds of responsibilities, that can be nearly impossible. But you're having a pustinia now. This is a place of having a retreat. You are going inward. You're hearing the fire of the word that is proclaimed. And you eat his body and you drink his blood. And when you come back from Holy Communion, or if you made a spiritual act of communion because you haven't been to confession, you sit there and you have a pustinia. You ponder, you rest for those few moments so that you can go out refreshed and to be able to see the marvels of Christ and the workings of the Holy Spirit in creation and recreating. I have a new energy, if you will, again, a kind of power, a propulsion, more motive, a sense of purpose, to go out and to help in some little way. It doesn't have to be heroic stuff. And for most of us, it is little ways, like the little flower and her little way, which are small things with great love. Also, when you go to confession, before you go, you're having a pustinia. You're thinking about our sin. You're thinking about God's mercy. You're thinking about what I'm going to say to Christ in the person of the priest. You are looking forward to hearing the words of absolution after your act of contrition. You're doing your penance, which is a pustinia. and you go out and you're that much, not heavily burdened anymore, but you have rested for a few moments. And then you go out and you see those marvels because you put on the eyes of faith. There's lots of opportunities for Pustinia. You can be driving your car without the radio on, and maybe say a decade of the rosary. How about this if you want a Pustinia? You ever try go to a day without your telephone? You ever try go to a week without getting onto your computer? They say people go through withdrawal when that happens. They actually get the shakes because you're withdrawing from the endorphins, which give the pleasure principle. It's called FOMA, I think they call it, fear of missing out. We are so agitated and so energized and so stimulated over time, so many times, that we don't go inside and we don't ponder God and how he loves us and cherishes us, how he wants to give us his mercy, how he wants to give us his fire, how he wants to give us his motivation to go out and to give to others what we have received. Some little ways, some pondering that we do, some affirmation, some holding back my critical spirit or my wishing people ill instead of blessing people for the sake of their own conversion process or a moment of feeling God's grace because you bless and send the triumph of the cross to other people or another person rather than the opposite. So according to Christ today, he wants to make us one with him, according to Ephesians. And he asks us to go off, which means to go inside if you can't go to a treat house, or isolate yourself somehow. But the isolation isn't for the sake of licking our wounds. The isolation isn't so much a me-centered. It's a centering in Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we do it inside of the Catholic Church also are those little prayers that we say over and over and over. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust in you, because energy follows thought. And when we speak to the other and we're quiet and we listen to the other with a capital O, we're that much more capable of listening and responding and helping or knowing when not to interfere and rescue. Because God is always giving us his wisdom. He's always giving us his loving kindness. Wisdom is what Jesus was called in the Old Testament. Wisdom played beside the Lord while he was creating the earth. And loving kindness, as you know from St. Paul, that's another name for Jesus Christ. And so think about how you can have a Pustinia of your own, if not to a retreat house or go off by yourself someplace for the sake of pondering and renewing. But we can do that in increments throughout our day. I think we know the difference when that isn't happening. We become so stressed and distressed, and sometimes even mean-spirited and short and curt, the human condition. We are weak, but God is always inviting us to be still and know that I am God.